أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، خير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، كل بدعة ضلالة، كل ضلالة في النار. كيف يحافظ المسلمون على أطفالهم وأبنائهم وأسرهم من مخاطر التغريب ومن الذوبان والانصهار في المجتمعات الغربية الكافرة؟ هذا هو موضوع المحاضرة. التغريب معناه صبغ المسلمين بالصبغة الغربية، بحيث يصبح المسلم بالاسم مسلم، لا يعرف من إسلامه ومن دينه إلا الاسم، متفلت من دينه، لا يحلل لا يحرم، يعيش حياة الغربيين والكفار ولا يجد لها إنكارا في قلبه ولا في أعماله وجوارحه، يشاركهم في أعيادهم، يواليهم بقلبه، يتسمى بأسمائهم، لا ينكر منكراتهم، يقول أنا مسلم، لكن هل يصلي؟ لا يصلي. هل يصوم؟ لا يصوم. قد يدخل رمضان ويخرج ينتهي وهو لا يدري، رحمك الله، يخوض معهم فيما يخوضون فيه. هذا معنى التغريب، أن يصبح المسلم أو المجتمع الإسلامي قطعة من الغرب، كما قال أحد الأدباء الضالين وهو طه حسين، قال: نريد أن تكون مصر صورة طبق الأصل عن الغرب، نريد أن تكون مصر صورة طبق الأصل عن الغرب. ولهذا هناك تلامذة قادوا الدعوة إلى التغريب، تلامذة للمستشرقين، والمستشرق هو يهودي أو نصراني متخصص في الدراسات الإسلامية، متخصص في معرفة عادات الشعوب الإسلامية، ومعرفة مكانة أمكنة الضعف في الأمة الإسلامية حتى يخترقوها ويدخلوا إليها في الداخل كالفيروس الذي يفتك بالجسد، وكالسوسة التي تنخر في الخشب. إنهم، وقد أشار النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إليهم في الحديث الصحيح حينما قال: إنهم من أبناء جلدتنا ويتكلمون بألسنتنا، إنهم دعاة على أبواب جهنم. قالوا: منا يا رسول الله؟ قال: إنهم من أبناء جلدتنا ويتكلمون بألسنتنا، من أطاعهم قذفوه في النار.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، أما بعد. Sheikh, after beginning with khutbat al-hajj, he said, how should the Muslim go about protecting and taking care of and safeguarding his children and his family? And how does he go about protecting himself and his family and his children from the dangers of becoming westernized and the dangers of the Western society in terms of its pitfalls. He said that this is the topic of our discussion today. And as it relates to westernization, the meaning of westernization and what we're referring to here today is when the Muslim, he becomes totally engrossed in the culture and the ways of the West. He only has the name of Al-Islam and that's it. But he doesn't really know anything about his deen, anything about Al-Islam. He doesn't know, nor does he practice what is halal, what is haram. He lives a life that is the life of the kuffar. His heart does not make inkar, and it doesn't have a problem with what's going on around him and in his environment. Nor does his limbs have any problem with what's going on around him in his environment. He practices and he celebrates their holidays. The issue of al-wala, having allegiance to the kuffar. He doesn't understand, he doesn't know what's correct in that issue. He has allegiance towards them. He even goes as far as to embrace their names. So he has no problem with the munkarat or the evils that he sees apparent. He has no problem with it at all. He says, I'm a Muslim, but he doesn't pray, nor does he fast. As a matter of fact, the month of Ramadan may come to him, and he doesn't even know that it's Ramadan. And he is similar to what one of the Utaba men of literature, he was an adib, and he was astray. It's similar to what he said. This is westernization. What that adib, whose name is Taha Hussein, he said, and he's an Egyptian man, we want Egypt to become a place that is exactly like the West. That's what we want Egypt to become. Sheikh said, so these people, they have many students who lead this call of making the Muslims westernized. And they are the mustashriqun, or the orientalists. And the Orientalists are those Jews and those Christians who have a great concern for the Muslims. They are mutakhassisun. They specialize in studying about Islam and in studying about the culture and the Islamic civilization. They make it their business to study the points of weakness as it relates to the Muslims so that they can manipulate and take advantage of that in their attempt to be successful in making the Muslims westernized and making them weaken their deen. They, along with their efforts, they are like the wood, the worm. What do you call that worm in the wood? They're like the termites that eat away at the wood. And they're like those germs that are in the body that also eat away at the body. And they are exactly how the Prophet described them, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said in an authentic hadith, in their description, verily, they are from our people. They look like you. Their skin, the way they look like you. And they talk with our kalam. They are callers, du'at, inviters, du'at who are on the doors of Jahannam. Whoever listens to them and obeys them will be thrown into the hellfire.
وَلَقَدْ حَلَّلَ لَنَا رَبُّنَا فِي كِتَابِهِ وَعَلَى لِسَانِ رَسُولِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم نفسية أهل الكتاب الذين يمكرون بالمسلمين ولا يريدون لهم خيرا حيث قال ربنا عز وجل ولن ترضى عنك اليهود ولا النصارى حتى تتبع ملتهم. ولهذا مهما حاول المسلم أن يرضي هؤلاء فإنهم لن يرضوا حتى ينسلخ من دينه انسلاخ الحية من ثوبها، ويعلن على الملأ أنه لا يتصل بالإسلام ولا يلتقي مع الإسلام من قريب أو من بعيد. ولهذا أجروا الدراسات والحملات والبعثات الاستشراقية لدراسة عادات وتقاليد المسلمين ومعرفة مكامن الضعف فيهم، وعادوا بالتقارير التي خلاصتها أن هذه الأمة لا ينفع معها الغزو، إذا غزيت غزوا عسكريا فإن هذا يوقظ فيها روح الجهاد والاستشهاد والبسالة والفداء، ولهذا ويكون هذا السبب في يقظة دينية إسلامية في عودة الناس إلى دينهم ومقاومة مستعمرين. إذن ما هو العمل لسلخ شباب الأمة وفتيات أمة الإسلام عن الدين؟ لابد من ننشر بينهم عادات وطباع وطبائع وتقاليد وأخلاق الكفار، لابد أن ننشر بينهم حب الشهوات، لابد أن نلقي بينهم الشبه ونشككهم في دينهم، لابد أن نلقي بينهم العداوة والبغضاء لنضعفهم فرق تسد، لأن سر قوتهم في تمسكهم بدينهم واتحادهم واعتصامهم بكتاب ربهم وسنة نبيهم. فلهذا لابد من إثارة النعرات الإقليمية، ولابد من الدعوة إلى الجاهليات والعصبيات، ولابد من نشر الفساد، لابد من الاختلاط في الجامعات والمدارس، ولابد من الإغراء بالشهوات، لابد من إفساد المرأة. كما قال أحد المستشرقين، قال كأس وغانية يفعلان في أمة محمد أكثر من فعل المدفع والبارود، أكثر من فعل المدفع والصاروخ والطائرة. ولهذا هذا في بلاد الإسلام وبلاد العرب يحاولون أن تكون قطعة كالغرب، وقد أفلحوا في بعض البلدان، بعض البلدان العربية والتي تنتمي إلى الإسلام ظلما وزورا للأسف، يعني الإسلام العملي هم لا يتبرؤون من الإسلام علانية، بدليل أنهم يعني يحضرون مؤتمرات المؤتمر الإسلامي وجامعة الدول العربية، لكنهم في ممارساتهم هداهم الله يحاربون الإسلام. بعض البلدان إذا صليت الفجر تعتقل وتزج في السجن، وفي بعض البلدان إذا رأوا المرأة مختمرة يغلقون الحوانيت ويخرجون ينظرون إليها، لأنه منظر غريب، منظر مستهجن، منظر مستقبح. في بعض البلدان إذا لبست القلنسوة وتحارب، فأفلحوا إلى سلخ بعض الدول من الانتماء الفعلي إلى دينها وعقيدتها. في بعض البلدان لا يستطيع الشاب أن يعفي لحيته، وقد اضطهد شباب واتهموا بالزندقة لأنهم، وصار هناك فرق لمحاكمة ما يسمى ومحاربة ما يسمى بالجماعات الزندقة، وهم لأنهم شباب تمسكوا بدينهم، قالوا ربي الله، وما نقموا منهم إلا أن يقولوا ربنا الله. فلهذا هذه الحملات التغريبية على قدم وساق منذ عشرات السنين، وتجدها في بعض البلدان أكثر من البلدان الأخرى. في بعض البلدان للأسف الخمور تباع مثل ما تباع البندورة وتباع الخضرات في السوبر ماركت، وفي بعض البلدان تمارس الدعارة والعياذ بالله إما علنا وإما سرا، وكل هذا اتجاه حميم، اتجاه محموم مسعور نحو أمة الغرب والتطبع بعادات الغرب. فكيف بمن يعيش في بلاد الغرب؟ هذا موضوع حديثنا، كيف يكون له برامج نحصنه، يكون عنده مناعة من أن يذوب في هذه المجتمعات الغربية الكافرة فيصبح بلا دين.
The Sheikh, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly defined and explained to us in clear and perfect detail, and the Prophet also sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his authentic sunnah, about the desires of the Al-Kitab as it relates to them wanting to destroy us. Their nafsiyat, the way that they think, the way that they feel towards us, it has been perfectly described and mentioned in the Quran that they do not want anything from us except for our destruction. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, and never will the Jews and the Christians be pleased with you until you follow their millah, until you follow their way. The Sheikh says, so we should understand that no matter how hard the Muslims try to please those people based upon this ayah, they will never be pleased with us until we leave our religion. And they will never be pleased with you, the Yahud and the Nasara, until you follow their religion. So what they want from us is for us to totally abandon our way of life and our deen, to come out of our deen the same way the snake sheds his skin. And they have made many darasat, many case studies. They have made a lot of attempts to bring forth their think tanks, those people who are the orientalists, and they've studied in detail the culture of the Muslims. They've studied in detail the thinking and the mentality of the Muslims. And the end result of their studies is that they know that to fight the Muslims in a military war is not going to bring that much benefit. It's not the best way of fighting them and engaging them. Because when you engage them in a military war, even with all of their weakness, what that does is it brings back the spirit of jihad for the Muslims. It brings back the desire that the Muslims had and the manifestation of a person sacrificing himself. It makes the Muslims return to their religion. And this is the thing that they don't want. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. So they ask themselves, after all of these case studies and these attempts to understand the Muslims and how to bring about their destruction, they ask, how can we be successful in this effort? And they come to the conclusion that the way that they will be successful is to spread amongst the Muslims bad ideas. That they spread amongst the Muslims things that are not acceptable. That they change and they alter and they corrupt the nature of the Muslims and try their best to make the Muslims imitate the kuffar in their behavior. They want to give the Muslims a culture and they want to give the Muslims practices that are foreign to their religion. They make them a group of people who are drowning in their desires. They start to throw into the minds and the hearts of the Muslim doubt, issues that are ambiguous, so that the Muslims will become a group of people who doubt the reality of their deen. Another very favorable methodology that they found that works well is that they plant the seeds of enmity and rancor and hatred between the Muslims themselves. Because they know that the Muslims, the secret of their success and the secret of their power is when they have the correct iman, the correct faith, when they're holding on to the kitab and the sunnah, when they are united amongst themselves in this iman and holding on to the kitab and the sunnah. So as I mentioned, they have decided to make a war, to wage a war, to make their campaign on another front. Not the military front, but on the front of agitating the issue so that Muslims will be overtaken with racism, asabiyah, so that the Muslims will start to mix freely with women, men and women, so that the Muslims will become drowned in following after their desires. They have systematically gone after the Muslim woman in order to destroy her. And one of them said, from those people, from the Mustashriqun, that for if the people, they really want to defeat the Muslims, well, there's a way to defeat them that's greater than, you know, putting tanks on them, putting a cannon on them, fighting them with a military war. And that is to give them, as an example, those evil women who sing or the drink. The Sheikh, he went on to say that they were successful. They had a large amount of success in this war of theirs in many of the Muslim countries. There are many, many Muslim countries who have fallen susceptible to these plans. Even though you may find that that Muslim country, it attends and participates in the annual Islamic conferences that are held internationally, still nonetheless, those people who are the enemies of Islam, they were successful in getting these Muslim countries to wage war against Islam and to wage war against the Muslims and the people who are trying to hold on to the religion of Islam. Unfortunately, I'm sad to say, if you were to pray Salatul Fajr in some of these Muslim countries, you will be in prison simply because you pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid. If the Muslim woman were in one of these Muslim countries and she wore the niqab, you will find that the people will start to show, close the shutters to the windows and start to look at her because this is something that's strange. If you wear a hooded thobe, if you wear a hood or something on your head, the people will wage war against you because this is from the Islamic identity that the Muslim countries now have begun to hate and wage war against the people. If you're a person who has a lihya, you have a beard, you will be looked at as being a zindiq from the zindiqa, being an heretic, having heretic ideas and views, to the point that in one particular Muslim country, the people who have beards have been described as the Jama'a, the Zindiqa, the heretic group. And the country looks at them as a group of people who war should be waged against them. And they go all out in trying to eradicate their existence for no other reason. Then the boy or these young people, when he begin to read some ayahs of the Quran, that the person is saying, my Lord is Allah. For no other reason, as Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, and they did not get revenge for them. They did not bother them. They did not make the naqam, except because they said, Allah is our Lord. Sheikh, he said, unfortunately, you go to some of these places where the enemies of Islam have been successful in changing the Muslims in their behavior and in their nature. You can go to certain Muslim countries and find drugs being sold. Sometimes these narcotics are sold openly. The way you can go and buy vegetables in the marketplace, you can go and buy drugs in the same place, openly. And sometimes it's so hidden where people can't see it. Not only drugs, but they were even successful in allowing the Muslim countries to turn the eye and make it okay and acceptable where prostitution is even practiced openly. You can openly practice prostitution. All of this comes as a result of, part of it, as a result of the efforts of the enemies of Islam to make the Muslims westernized. Now, all of what I mentioned has been mentioned as it relates to what's going on in the Muslim country, what these people have done and how they were successful in dealing with the Muslim country. And all of what I have mentioned is what's going on. So what about right here where the people are present and this is their way of life? So what we want to discuss today is how you can make for yourself a program, a burnamage, a program that will serve as a citadel for you to protect you from becoming a person who has been overtaken by this westernization.
ونحن إذ نذكر هذه السلبيات في بعض البلدان العربية والإسلامية فنحن ولله الحمد نبرأ من التكفير ومن التكفيريين خوارج العصر الذين يكفرون المجتمعات الإسلامية لوجود هذه المظاهر وجود مثل هذه المظاهر أو لوجود بعض المعاصي المعلنة وبالتالي أدى هذا التكفير إلى الجنوح إلى العنف وإلى اعتبار هذه المجتمعات كافرة والخروج على حكامها وقتل شعوبها كما يحصل في الجزائر وكما يحصل في كثير من البلدان للأسف. فنحن نبرأ إلى الله من ذلك لكننا نحن نحذر من مخاطر التغريب الذي يزحف زحفا حثيثا على أمتنا ليس فقط على من يقيم في بلاد الغرب بل يزحف زحفا شديدا حثيثا على المجتمعات العربية والإسلامية لتغريبها حتى نصبح سواء حتى تصبح هذه المجتمعات العربية والإسلامية كالمجتمعات الغربية سواء. فإذا انتقل الغربي إلى بلاد العرب الإسلام لا يجد غضاضة في أن يحتضن عشيقته ويقبلها على قارعة الطريق أو في المطار أو في التجمعات من غير نكير ومن غير استهجان حتى يمارس كل شذوذاته من غير أن يجد استغرابا واستهجانا أو استنكارا. هذا الذي يسعى إليه أعداء هذه الأمة لتطبيقه ولكنهم بالتدريج يطبعون تلك الشعوب العربية والإسلامية على أن تقبل بهذه العادات وهذه الأخلاق التي تتنافى مع الإسلام ومع ثوابت الإسلام ومع أخلاق الإسلام وعاداته.
The Sheikh said, after mentioning what I mentioned concerning what is a present manifestation of the success of those people in the Islamic states and the Arab states, when I mention all of those things from the evil, even though I am mentioning these negative aspects of what's in our society, he said, we still must free ourselves from those people who make takfir, and they say that the Muslims are kuffar. Those people who make takfir of the whole Islamic society because of the presence of some of the things that I mentioned. We free ourselves from those people who are the contemporary khawarij, the khawarij of this day and time. These individuals, the khawarij of this day and time, they come and they say that the Islamic society and those who are in it, from the Muslims, they are kuffar because they fall into these munkarat that we have mentioned. And as a result of the presence of these munkarat, and as a result of their takfir and passing this verdict of kufr upon the Muslims, who live in these places that has led them to shed the innocent blood of the Muslims and to create so much confusion, like what we find in right now presently in Algeria and other places other than Algeria. We're free from this understanding of those people. And mentioning what we said from the negative aspect of how the Muslims have become westernized in the Muslim countries, in the Arabic countries, we mention these things from the angle of warning the Muslims of the danger that is posed by westernization and the destruction that will ultimately come from westernization. These people who are wanting to westernize the Muslims, their goal and their objective is not to focus upon people who are outside of the Muslim countries, so to speak, but their war is directly focused on the Arab societies, where the Muslims come from, where they are actually located. They want to destroy the Muslim way of life and the Muslim society and the Muslim personality and way of thinking, to the point that you will find, ikhwan, that one of them will go to greet his girlfriend, will go to greet the woman who is his girlfriend, and when they greet and meet each other, they plant a kiss. They kiss each other openly. And when they do that, in that society, because of the success that the people have gained, when he kisses her, no one from amongst the Muslims in that society finds it strange. No one makes any inkar. No one has a problem with the fact that this is the shavu, or it is an irregularity that we're not used to in our way of life. So they will not be happy until the people become absolutely engrossed and overindulged in becoming westernized, because in that is the destruction. Once they find that everyone has become westernized, then there will be no force to repel the munkarat. And of course they do this with a tadarruj, little by little by little, until finally they are successful with their plan.
ولقد جاء الإسلام بالقرآن والسنة ومنهج سلف الأمة يحثان المسلمين على أن يكونوا مستقلين في هويتهم، في شخصيتهم، في عقيدتهم، في منهجهم، في عاداتهم، في تقاليدهم، في أفراحهم، في أتراحهم، في كل أحوالهم، أن تكون لهم شخصيتهم المستقلة. ولهذا كان في الإسلام مبدأ الولاء والبراء، موالاة أولياء الله ومعاداة أعداء الله. ولا يكون العبد مؤمنا حتى يوالي أولياء الله ويعادي أعداء الله، ليس فقط بقلبه الذي هو أضعف الإيمان، وإنما بممارساته الفعلية. فلا يشاركهم في أفراح في أعيادهم، ولا يتسمى بأسمائهم، ولا يؤرخ بتاريخهم، ولا يتحاكم إلى قوانينهم التي هي حكم الطاغوت، التي تخالف حكم الله وحكم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. لا يخنع ويظهر الذلة، بل يكون عزيزا بإيمانه، يستعلي بإيمانه ودينه، وأنتم الأعلون إن كنتم مؤمنين، ولله العزة ولرسوله وللمؤمنين، وجاء في وصف أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رحماء بينهم, جاء في وصف أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم. انعكست الصورة اليوم للأسف بسبب ما أصاب المسلمين من تراجع عن دينهم وذل وهوان, صاروا أشداء على بعضهم, أسد علي وفي الحروب نعامة, أما مع الكفار فصاروا أذلاء صاغرين للأسف, بعد أن كانت لهم العزة يوم أن تمسكوا بدينهم ويوم أن طبقوا شرع ربهم, يوم أن حملوا هذا الدين وبلغوه إلى الشعوب المظلومة المضطهدة وحملوه إلى مشارق الأرض ومغاربها, مصداقا لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يشخص الداء ويصرف الدواء, إذا تبايعتم بالعينة وأخذتم أذناب البقر ورضيتم بالزرع وتركتم الجهاد في سبيل الله سلط الله عليكم ذلا, هذا هو الذل والعياذ بالله. هذا الحديث من أعلام النبوة, سلط الله عليكم ذلا لا ينزعه حتى ترجعوا إلى دينكم, حتى ترجعوا إلى دينكم أي دينكم الذي ارتضاه الله لكم. دينكم ليس دين الرافضة ولا دين الصوفية ولا دين العقلانيين ولا دين الخوارج ولا دين الباطنية ولا دين الخوالف, إنما دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه.
Ikhwan, the Sheikh says, so Al-Islam has come with the Quran and Al-Islam has come with the Sunnah and the correct and perfect minhaj of the Salaf of this Ummah, and it has encouraged the Muslims and ordered the Muslims to become distinct and independent, to establish for themselves a personality that is distinct and independent, a minhaj that is clear, distinct and independent, adat, cultural practices that are distinct and independent, taqaleed, the way that they have their culture, to come with celebrations that are distinct. Everything the Muslim has to be distinct in, and Al-Islam has come, the Quran and the Sunnah and the way of the Salaf of this Ummah, it has come to encourage us, to command us to be like that, to develop for ourselves a personality that is distinct, independent. And for that reason we have, for an example, the whole issue of what is known as Al-Wala wal-Bara. Al-Wala, having allegiance, and Al-Bara, having hatred. We have Al-Wala, allegiance to the awliya of Allah, to religious people. And we have Al-Bara, we have enmity, and we separate from the enemies of Allah and the enemies of this religion. Not for the Muslim to be weak. No, the Muslim person will never be considered to be a true believer until he has a true understanding and a correct concept of al-wala wal-bara, who to love and who to hate. Not hating with just your heart, hating the lowest level, the weakest level of iman, is that you just hate it with your heart, but to hate in reality, in the real application. So we do not participate with them in the way that they celebrate. We do not participate with them in the way that they give names. We do not even participate with them by using their history, by using their calendar. We don't use their calendar. Or it could be understood as well, becoming happy at what happened with them historically. We do not judge by their judging system, because their judging system is the judging system of the Taghut, It is oppressive. It is overbound. It is out of bounds. The Sheikh said, instead, we realize that their judging system is in contradiction to the ruling of Allah and to the ruling of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that the Muslim will not have al-izzah until we recognize this. We are the ones who have al-izzah when we hold on to our deen. We have the honor. Allah Ta'ala said, and you people are uppermost if you are believers. And he also said, to Allah belongs the izzah, and to Rasulullah belongs the izzah, and to the believers is the izzah. And Allah Azza wa Jal has described Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those who were with him when he said, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And those people who are with him, they are rough, they're tough against the kuffar, and they are merciful between themselves. But when the Muslims, they acquiesced and they backed up and they made the taraja, they returned and they backed up off of their deen, we find them in the condition that they are in today. The thing went backwards and it got turned upside down. Instead of the Muslim being merciful between himself and between themselves and being rough and tough against the kuffar, now it's the opposite way. And then he says some poetry that the Muslim now is like this. He has become a lion, a ferocious lion against his Muslim brother, against the Muslim. And as it relates to the kuffar, we are low. They have become the asari. They are low, downtrodden, because the kuffar, they now have the izzah. When the Muslims used to hold on to their deen, and when the Muslims were going out spreading this message of this deen, when the Muslims were holding on to what Allah had ordered them to do, when they were not afraid of anyone but Allah, they came into the possession of the East and the West. But when they did other than that, then what has transpired and happened. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has informed us of this situation when he said in an authentic hadith, if you people start to preoccupy yourselves and you start to trade with al-ina, a type of usury, and you grab the tails of the cow, and you become preoccupied with your agriculture, and you leave off the jihad in the cause of Allah, Allah will put over you lowliness. Then the Shaykh said, this hadith is from the signs of the truthfulness of Rasulullah. It is a sign of his prophecy. Because what he said, it has happened exactly the way he said it. When you leave your deen and you leave the jihad, Allah will make you low. And he will not raise that lowliness off of you until you return to your deen. And what deen is being referred to in this hadith? The deen of this hadith is not the deen of the Rafida, the people who hate the companions of Rasulullah. Not the deen of the Sufi. Not the deen of the intellectual, the one who gives too much attention, too much clout, too much power to his intellect, the Aqlani. Not the deen of the Khawarij. Not the deen of the Bataniya, the esoterical thinking Muslim. Not that deen. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Rasulullah brought sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the minhaj as-salih.
فالولاء والبراء أصل عظيم من في الإسلام ولا يقبل الله عز وجل من عبد صرفا ولا عدلا حتى يحقق هذا الأصل ولهذا أوجب الله عز وجل على المسلم أن يقرأ في أم الكتاب وهي ركن من أركان الصلاة لا تقوم صلاته إلا بها أوجب عليه أن يسأل الله الهداية والثبات على صراط من أنعم الله عليه قد بينهم الله في سورة النساء ومن يطع الله والرسول فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. وبالمقابل أن يتبرأ ويستعين من سبيلين ضالين خبيثين ملعونين، سبيل المغضوب عليهم وهم بالإجماع بإجماع المفسرين سبيل اليهود، وسبيل الضالين وهم بإجماع المفسرين النصارى، وهما سبب كل ضلال. فالمسلم إذا قال بلسانه غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين، ولكن بجنانه وبجوارحه معهم قلبا وقالبا، فأي إسلام هذا الذي ينتمي إليه؟ إنه كالببغاء يلقن كلمات ثم سرعان ما ينساها أو يتناساها، ولهذا لا يثبت أمام الفتن وأمام زحف أعداء الله على هذه الأمة إلا كل مخلص وكل صادق، كل من حقق العبودية لله، وكل من لم يقبل ولم يرضى أن يكون الإسلام شعارا يرفع فقط دون أن يمارسه في واقعه، في بيته، في دكانه، في سوقه، في بره، في بحره، في جوه، في سفره، في حضره، في كل حيثما كان، كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: اتق الله حيثما كنت. فالتقوى ليس رداء يلبس في المناسبات، وليس مادة تحفظ في الثلاجات. التقوى يجب أن تكون شعارك يا مسلم يا عبد الله، ودثارك حيثما حللت وحيثما كنت تتقي الله عز وجل، وتحمل هذا الإسلام العظيم وتتخلق به حتى بين الكافرين لتكون إماما للناس وتكون قدوة. ما الذي يجعل كثير أكثر الكفار يعرضون عن الإسلام؟ لأنهم لا يجدون الإسلام مترجما في حياة المسلمين، لا يجدون الإسلام حيا واقعا، يجدون الإسلام في بطون الكتب لكن لا يجدون من يحمل الإسلام ويترجم، لا يجدون الأمانة إلا من رحم الله، لا يجدون الصدق، لا يجدون العفة، لا يجدون حسن الخلق إلا من رحم الله، وقليل. فلهذا أعرضوا عن الإسلام، وهذا واجبكم، يجب أن تكونوا مثل وقدوة في هذه البلاد حتى تؤثروا في أمة الكفر، بدل أن يؤثروا فيكم فيسلخوكم عن دينكم بعاداتهم وتقاليدهم وأخلاقهم، أنتم تؤثروا فيهم بتمسككم بدينكم وعقيدتكم وأخلاقكم وثوابتكم، لأن النور دائما يبدد الظلام، النور دائما يبدد الظلام. لكن إذا كان النور ميتا خافتا فكيف يقوى على تبديد الظلام؟ ولهذا أيها الإخوة، الإقامة في بلاد الغرب من غير ضرورة حرام، من غير ضرورة ملح، لأنك قد تستطيع أن تحافظ على نفسك، لكن هيهات أن تحافظ على أبنائك، هيهات أن تحافظ على أحفادك. وأنتم ترون وتسمعون وتعلمون أكثر مني، كم من أسر عاشت في بلاد الكفر فذابت وانخرطت وتركت دينها وإسلامها، لا يعرف إلا أنه مسلم، كما جاء في الحديث في آخر الزمان يقول الرجل لما يسمع لفظ الله أو لا إله إلا الله يقول: سمعنا آباءنا يقولون هذه الكلمة ولا ندري ما هي. نسأل الله العافية.
Sheikh, he said, Ikhwan, the issue of al-wala wal-bara is an important issue. It is a fundamental principle in al-Islam that is azim. And Allah Azza wa Jal will not accept from you a sarf or an adl. until you have this practice and understanding of al-wala wal-bara. Allah won't accept from you your obligatory deeds or your deeds that are from the nawafil, the sarf or the adl, until you practice and understand al-wala wal-bara correctly. And for this reason, from the wisdoms that Allah Azza wa Jalla has made it wajib upon us. He made it wajib upon every Muslim when he prays. They asked to read the Ummul Kitab, Surah Al-Fatiha, which is one of the pillars of the prayer. The Fatiha is a pillar of the prayer, so we have to read it when we make salah. So, in this surah, you have to ask Allah Azza wa Jalla for the hidayah. And you ask Allah that He gives you the thabat and He establishes you upon the sirat al-mustaqim. The sirat of those people who Allah has shown His favor upon them. And they have been explained who they are in Surah An-Nisa. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, then they will be with the Nabiyeen and with the Siddiqeen, and they will be with the Shuhada or the martyrs, and they will be with the righteous. And what a good fraternity that is. So Allah has ordered us to do what? To have al-wala, to have allegiance to those group of people in Surah Al-Fatiha in our prayer. And in contrast to that, on the other side of the equation, He has ordered us when we read this surah to protect us from the two ways that are astray. The two ways of evil and destruction. The way of those who Allah is angry with them. And by the consensus, the ijma' of all of the Muslims who gave the explanation of the Quran, those who Allah is angry with is referring to the Yahud. And the other way, those who Allah has made them to go astray. They are the astray ones from and by the consensus of all of the Muslim scholars who gave the tafsir, explanation of the Quran. They say that those people who are astray, they are the Nasara. And all dalal, all of the being astray, is from these people. So, if a person says with his tongue, I'm a Muslim, if he says with his tongue, I believe in Al-Islam, if he says with his tongue and he makes this salah, and he asks for this guidance to this sirat, and to be protected from the other side, if he says it with his tongue, but he doesn't practice it with his heart, his limbs do not practice it, then that individual is just like the babagha. He's like the parrot. The parrot who says a word and very quickly forgets what he said. Because he doesn't understand what he's saying. He's saying something, but he's doing something else. And the person who has sipped, he's truthful, he has iman, he has power in his personality, he is the one who will be established in front of the fitna when it comes to him. But the one who's just saying, but he doesn't really believe, then this is the one who is not going to be established. But the one who knows what true servitude is to Allah, he knows the true ubudiyah, that he's a slave to Allah. He understands this, he knows this, he practices. When this individual is tried, when the fitna is in front of him, he knows how to deal with it. So, ikhwan, the Muslim, he has to be a Muslim in his home. He has to be a Muslim in the marketplace, in his place of work, while he's traveling, while he's stationary, in the air, on the ground. He has to be a Muslim wherever he is. As the hadith of the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fear Allah wherever you are. So, at-taqwa and being cognizant of Allah and fearing Him, it is not something that you wear and at special occasions. When it's time to put it on, that's when you wear the taqwa. It is not something that can be frozen and then you take it out and you throw it out and you practice it as you want to practice it. No. But what we have to do is take on and we need to embrace the akhlaq of al-Islam, the character of al-Islam. And we have to become examples of our religion. And we have to become people who others can imitate our way of Islam and our way of life. How many of these kuffar have rejected the religion of al-Islam? They didn't embrace it because they do not see in front of them a true living translation of al-Islam. They do not see in front of themselves a real living example of al-Islam. All they see is al-Islam being written in books. The glorious history of al-Islam, it is written inside of books. They don't see from the Muslims taking care of the trust, the amanah. They don't see in the Muslims truthfulness. They don't see in the Muslims iffah, staying away from zina and things like that, lewd behavior. They don't see in the Muslims good akhlaq, except those people who Allah has mercy upon and He allows them to be like that, and how few they are. He says, so it is an obligation upon us that we become examples to be followed, that we become leaders in this place for these people, that we exact or we make the ta'thir, that we make an impact upon them and not the other way around, where they make an impact upon us and we become westernized. The Shaykh said, Ikhwan, the nature of the light is that the light comes and it causes the darkness to evaporate or to go away. That's the nature of the light, that it takes away the darkness. If the light is dead, do you think it would have the ability to come and to cause the darkness to go away? Of course not. A dead light cannot do anything. So what we have to do is understand that living here in these countries in the West, if you're not here out of necessity, out of compulsion, then it's haram to be here. Yeah, one of you may have the ability to protect yourself. You may have that ability. But you don't have the ability to protect your children. And you don't have the ability to protect your grandchildren. So some of you may know more than me as it relates to this issue. Some of you may know true examples, living examples more than me. But I ask you, how many of us know the great number of Muslim families who have lived here and they melted into being like these people? Their family, the individuals from their family, they melted and they became just like these people. And this is the reality of what Rasulullah said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in another hadith, talking about the sign of the end of time. He said that there is going to come a time, there will come a time when someone says, Allah, Allah. And then the people will say, well, we heard our fathers used to say that word, but what is that? We heard, we used to hear that, but what is it? So therefore, beware and be careful of becoming Westerners.
والحاصل أيها الأحبة أنه ينبغي لمن يقيم في هذه البلاد أن يتقي الله عز وجل في نفسه وفي أبنائه وفي أسرته، ويعلم أن الله سائله عن أهل بيته وسائله عن واجباته المنوط به تجاه أبنائه، تجاه زوجته أو زوجاته، وتجاه إخوانه. كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا. فينبغي أن تحافظ على فطرة أبنائك. يولد المولود على الفطرة، أي على الإسلام، فأبواه يهودانه أو ينصرانه أو يمجسانه. فلا ينبغي أن تلوث فطرة أبنائك بأن تزجهم في مدارس الكفار، بل عليك أن تدخلهم المدارس الإسلامية ولو كانت في ظنك أغلى وأبهض من المدارس النظامية، لأنك تحفظ فطرة أبنائك من المسخ ومن الانحراف. ولا بد على المسلمين وخصوصا أتباع دعوة الحق في هذه البلاد أن يكون لأبنائهم محاضن إيمانية ومدارس سلفية، وأن يتعاونوا على إنشاء مدارس توفر التعليم الصحيح لأبنائهم وتبعدهم عن الاختلاط وتبعدهم عن الانحراف. ولا بد من تعليم أبنائك وأن تأتي بهم إلى مثل هذه الأيام واللقاءات ليعيشوا أياما من أيام الله لتجدد إيمانهم. لا بد أن تراقب أبنائك وأن تنظر إليهم وإلى سلوكهم. لا بد أن تعرفهم وتبين لهم عظمة الإسلام وأنهم ينتمون إلى أشرف أمة وإلى أسنى دين، وأن الانتساب إلى الإسلام له ضريبة وله ثمن، وأن كل من يريد أن ينتسب الإسلام لا بد أن يكون على هذه الأهلية خصوصا في هذه البلاد، أن يكون مشعل هداية وأنموذج خير. لا بد أيها الإخوة أن تكون بيوتنا بيوت إسلامية، ننظفها من الفساد، ننظفها من كل مظاهر مشابهة الكافرين، ننظفها من كل ما يغضب رب العالمين. لا بد أن يكون هناك بيئات إيمانية يجتمع فيها المسلمون. والعجب أنك ترى مثلا الصينيون لهم أحياء خاصة لهم، وبعض الشعوب كالشعوب الهندية مثلا، لكن المسلمين مبعثرين هنا وهناك، والأصل أن يجتمعوا ويكونوا مجتمعين لتكون لهم بيئة إيمانية بيئة إسلامية. فالداخل إليهم لا يرى إلا المحجبة وإلا المسلم، فإذا طرح السلام أمن أن هذا الذي سلم عليه من أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. لا بد أيها الإخوة إن كان ولا بد من الإقامة في بلاد الكفر وأرض الكفر أن تحافظ على دينك ودين أبنائك، وإلا فهاجر إلى الله، إذ يحرم عليك حينئذ أن تقيم في أرض الفتن أو أن تقيم في مكان تخاف على أسرتك وعلى أبنائك وخصوصا بعد مماتك. وهذه هي المسؤولية الملقاة على عاتق كل من جاء إلى بلاد الكفر وأرض الكفر، وإلا فيكون قد غش أبناءه وأسرته، ويكون والعياذ بالله كمن أسلمهم للشيطان أو ألقى بهم بين أنياب السبع ليمزقهم إربا. نسأل الله عز وجل أن يهدينا جميعا سواء السبيل، وأن يثبتنا على الدين، وأن لا يفتننا في الدنيا، وأن يجعلنا من أهل جنته وأهل طاعته. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وآله وسلم.
Okay, Ikhwan, the Sheikh, he finished by saying, so therefore we say to you that whoever wants to live in this place and remain in this place, then he has to develop and practice the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. He has to fear Allah in himself. He has to fear Allah as it relates to his children. He has to fear Allah as it relates to his family. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to question all of us. When I question you about your Ahlul Bayt, those people in your home, he's going to question you as well about the obligations that he has entrusted you with. and that he has put upon you. He's going to ask you about your wife or your wives, if you have more than one. He's going to question you about your brothers and your relationship to them. All of you are shepherds, and all of you will be questioned about your flock. O you believe, save yourselves and save your families from the hellfire. You have to do your level best to preserve and to maintain and to protect the fitrah, the natural disposition of your child, the fitrah. And the fitrah here is his Islam. Every child is born upon the fitrah. Every child is born upon Islam. And then his mother or his father either make him a Jew or Christian or a Magi from the Majus. You have to make sure that your child remains on the deen and in the deen. And be careful. Beware of polluting and contaminating the fitrah of your child. You become the reason that his fitrah is contaminated. How? By putting him inside of the schools of the kuffar, the public schools. No, you have to put your child in the Islamic school. Even though in your opinion, the Islamic school costs more money and it's expensive. In your opinion, the reality of it is, you are saving and protecting his fitrah. The Shaykh went on to say that every single Muslim, all of the Muslims, especially those who are upon the true, correct minhaj, you have to make it so that you can make some places and create some places that build the iman of your children, like the Islamic school, that will teach them the correct teachings, the teachings that are sahih. Keep your children away from making ikhtilaf, freely mixing with each other, which brings about inhiraf, causes them to start to deviate in their nature and in their character. But instead, we have to bring them to these types of functions so that they can live with the ayam of Allah, the days of Allah, the days of remembering Allah, being reminded of their religion, so that their faith can become renewed. Because everyone needs a renewal of his faith. I advise you to look at your children, to pay close attention to your children. When you look at them, teach them and let them know that they are connected to the best nation, the best ummah. And let them know that there is benefit in the dunya and in the hereafter as a result of being connected to this ummah. Make your homes the homes that are Islamic, and purify and clean your home from all of those things that serve as pollutants that will destroy the behavior of your kids. Do not resemble the kuffar in your home. Sheikh went on to say, from what I find from the strangest affairs, that you will see people from China, Chinese people, they come together and they get a neighborhood that is demarcated just for themselves, earmarked for Chinese people and Chinese people alone. They come together. And also we find Indians, non-Muslim Indians, for an example, doing the same thing. Whereas the Muslims are all over the place, divided amongst themselves. We have to create for ourselves environments, neighborhoods that are exclusive to us. That's where we should choose to live. So that the woman that you see in the street is wearing hijab. And when you're walking down the street in one of these neighborhoods of the Muslims, you know whenever you give the salam, that salam is going to fall on another Muslim. So hold on to your deen. And hold on and protect your children. And if you can't do that, or you refuse to do that, and you're not going to do that, then you have to make hijrah. You have to leave this place and look for another place in the cause of Allah, in the path of Allah, in the way of Allah, where you will be successful in completing these advices. This is the responsibility that is squarely placed upon the shoulder of the people who have chosen to live in this place. And if you don't do it, then you are considered to be a cheater. You are cheating your children. You're cheating them. You are an individual who comes and you effortlessly, you hand them over to the shaitan. You give them to the shaitan willingly. But instead, what should be done is we should try our best to take care of the amana that has been entrusted to us. And then he began to make a series of dua that Allah Azza wa Jal causes us to be established upon the deen. So we're going to bring this segment of today's durus to a close. We went over the time, so we're not going to answer the questions, inshallah. The questions will be dealt with later on. هذا أفضل من هذا أفضل من هذا كثير هذا يسأل هنا هل الأفضل ما هو الأفضل إرسال أبنائنا إلى المدارس الكفار أو إلى المدرسة الإسلامية التي تعلمهم العقيدة عقيدة الأشاعرة مدارس الكفار أو المدرسة الإسلامية التي تعلمهم العقائد الضالة مثل هذه العقيدة
ليش لا يوجد مدرسة سلفية؟
ما يوجد.
ليش عقدها يعني؟
لا عقدها عندك. لكن إذا
وهل يدرسون العقيدة الإسلامية؟
فعلاً نعم المدير وبعض المدرسات والمدرسين عندهم هذه الخرافات.
يعني بريلوية.
أيوة.
والله هذا سؤال حقيقة يعني.
The question that the person brought. Someone asked the Sheikh first, can he tell us about some of the schools in Pakistan, what he would advise, and so forth and so on. And we felt there's a more important question, a more real question. And he said that he hasn't been in Pakistan a long time. Got to ask someone else. He doesn't know the reality of that. But here's a question. Can you tell us whether it is better to go to a Kafir school, school of the Kufar, or should we send our children to a school where the aqidah that's being taught is from the aqidah of the Asha'ira or any other aqidah that is batila, like the Brawis, or teaching them what's wrong? Kufar school or the school where they're teaching the aqidah that is not correct?
والله أقول إذا كان هذا يعني الطفل الصغير لا يستطيع أن يذهب به إلى بلاد العرب والإسلام فيدخل في المدارس هناك فيجلس يدفع إلى إمام مسجد يحفظ كتاب الله عز وجل حتى إذا صار هذا الطفل يعني قادرا على الاستقلال بنفسه فيذهب به إلى بلاد العربية والإسلامية إما مهاجرا أو يعهد إليه ببعض طلبة العلم السلفيين الذي يعني يرعاه ويعلم دينه لأن غاية ما يعني يريده المقيم في هذه البلاد أن يبقى ولده على الدين وأن يحفظ كتاب الله وأن يتعلم اللغة العربية لأن هذا العمل الدنيوي متوفر يعني ممكن الإنسان يتاجر أو يعمل ولكن هذه أمور لا يمكن أن يتحصلها إلا إما بالهجرة أو بملازمة يعني طالب علم يكون ملازما له أما إذا حرص على الدنيا والشهادات ونحو ذلك مقابل أن يخسر أبنائه فهذا يكون قد غبن نفسه وغبن أبناءه وبالتالي يكون قد خسر شيئا كثيرا.
The Sheikh, he said in his question to answer, he said, if the child is very small where he cannot be taken to the Arab countries, Islamic countries, then I would say to send the little kid, the little child, the toddler, the little one, send him to the masjid so that he can sit with an imam or someone to cause him to memorize the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then when he becomes independent, where he is capable of standing on his own, then at that point, when he gets to that age, send him to the Islamic countries, either by the parents making hijrah with him, or if they know of someone from the students of knowledge who are in those countries, give the child to that person to take care of the kid while that individual is in the Islamic country so that he can be educated properly. Because what is the intent of this as it relates to our children? It's that they remain on their deen. It's that they remain holding on to the Arabic language. It's that they remain on holding on to their Islamic identity. As for the dunya and accomplishing feats in the dunya and acquiring the dunya is widely available. Become a businessman, make some money, become a businessman, you get the dunya. As it relates to your child, it's not the case with your child. The intent is to protect his deen, to protect his personality, make hijra with him, get him out of here. Because the person who loses his children as a result of trying to acquire the dunya, this person has really indeed lost. He has lost, he lost the situation, he lost the plot, he lost the kick. So that's what I see in this issue. So we're going to stop here, inshallah.